Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and I welcome you to the broadcast today as we continue on in a message I've entitled God's Glorious Church. And we've been talking about what God desires, and what God desires for His body, for His church, is found in the pages of especially the New Testament. Paul was very clear on church government and how a church should operate. He spoke of spiritual matters, of discernment, of spiritual warfare. And beloved, it's important for godly leadership to spend time in prayer and fasting and in manifesting the fruit of the Spirit. These are the essentials. These are the important things that will enable them to rightly and properly govern a local assembly. And you might say, well, as you hear some of these things I've been sharing, it's like, well, how do I know? Well, you will know them, Jesus said, by their fruit. Do they have the fruit of the Spirit? Regardless of what a person says, do they have love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance? Do they have these qualities in their character? It's one thing to be extremely gifted and anointed to preach the gospel or to even move in the gifts, but the bottom line is, where is their character? You see, those, and people have sometimes been so dismayed because it may happen that God can use someone mightily, but it says in the Word of God that the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. So if God gives a man or a woman a tremendous calling and giftings and anointings and ability, what they do in terms of their personal life, their character, that is something that they are responsible before the Lord to develop, to grow into maturity. But you see, the gifts are, that's not their ability. It's what God has given them. And so, and much to whom much has been given, much shall be required. So it's one thing to talk about being a spiritual covering for a people, or a spiritual tree, as it were, for the pilgrims of God, the saints, to sit under for a covering. It's equally important, beloved, that the tree or covering have the fruit of the Spirit on the tree, that the souls of men may be at rest and refreshed, as well as safe. Ephesians 5:9 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth." Praise God. When it talks in Galatians, the fifth chapter, about the fruit of the Spirit, it says love, joy, peace, long-suffering, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. The body of Christ, beloved, this beautiful, glorious church that God is putting together, a glorious habitation for His Spirit, not made with hands. It's a group of people. It's the ecclesia, called out from the world, not four walls, but His church is made up of lively stones. The Virgin Mary was prepared by the Holy Ghost for the incarnation of Jesus in her womb by the Holy Spirit. God prepared a human body for the promised Messiah. He also prepared another human body for the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus now has a glorified body like the one we will have when we are with the Lord. He also prepared that spiritual work of birthing a new spiritual living organism, if you will, his church, his body, into the world, that took place at Pentecost. Just as the angel of the Lord appeared unto Mary and told her she had special favor with God, that she would bring forth a child, and his name would be called Jesus, the Son of God, so Jesus promised to his disciples that they were to go and wait in Jerusalem until the promise of the blessed Paraclete, the Holy Spirit, would be given. The birth of Jesus Christ was announced by the angels of the Lord to the shepherds as they were tending their flocks in the field. And the angels said, "Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." God's intention has never changed. I was quoting from Luke, the second chapter, verses 11, 13, and 14. We're told in the Gospel of John, the first chapter, verse 14, that the Word was made flesh. That refers to Jesus, who is referred to as the Word of God. He became flesh. He became man. He became like one of us. This Word, which was in the beginning with God, the one who made all things, is God. In him is life. God, by the Holy Spirit, incarnated the Word into the womb of a virgin, thereby enabling Jesus Christ to be born both the Son of Man and the Son of God. Now, our little minds maybe not be able to understand that, but by faith we receive and accept it. And with the birth of Jesus, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Now, think about this. With the birth of the Ecclesia, that spiritual organism, if you will, that was birthed on the day of Pentecost in Jerusalem, when that time was fully come, God made it possible for flesh to become Word, if you will. That passage, which so describes God's heart, it says, "We have this treasure in earthen vessels." What's that? That's us. That's our human temple, our bodies, our physical bodies. That, for the reason, the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Jesus, the Word, became flesh. The Ecclesia, the Church of the Living God, if you will, was birthed by the Holy Ghost also. And we, the saints of all ages, were given power to proclaim the gospel of the kingdom of God to the uttermost parts of the earth. Jesus Christ, the Word, had a body prepared for him, for his entrance into the earth. The conception of Jesus Christ was immaculate. Mary was indeed a virgin. It was a miracle that was prophesied centuries before by the prophet Isaiah. The disciples of Christ, which were waiting in Jerusalem for the promised Paraclete, the Holy Spirit, they were followers of Christ. But, oh, can you just imagine what that day must have been like when the Holy Spirit came? There was the sound of a rushing, mighty wind. And they were literally, at that point, they could see cloven tongues of fire sitting upon their heads. When he came with such drama. He made such an entrance. This group of about 120 people, the scriptures tell us, were baptized into the body of Christ. Do you realize how exciting that is? A spiritual organism was birthed on that day. And to those who believed, in fact, Peter, he went from a cringing, cowardly denier of Jesus Christ to preaching his first message where 3,000 were added to the church in one day. He had an anointing on him. He knew in whom he had believed. Here, beloved, was formed in the earth a living spiritual organism with its head in heaven. We don't have a head on this earth. Our head's in heaven. Jesus, the literal physical Jesus, his glorified body, we know where he is. He can appear whenever he wants on earth or to people in vision, dream, whatever, but he is seated at the right hand of the majesty on high in heaven. Jesus did not leave the earth without his presence. He said, I won't leave you orphans. It's so touching and beautiful as he spoke his final words to his disciples. I'm not going to leave you. I'm going to send one that's just like me. Hallelujah. Oh, beloved, I hope you have a love for the Holy Spirit. He's such a wonderful friend. He's with us in the most simplest practical issues of our daily life. My prayer is that you'll get to know him really, really well. Jesus ascended into heaven, but he prayed the Father that the Holy Spirit would come upon his believers. They were baptized by the Spirit into the body of Christ. Thus, they became his many-membered spiritual body in this earth. And beloved, this process has not stopped since that day. Just as a natural child is born and cries when that child is born, so marked the birth of this infant spiritual organism, the body of Christ, that they had a cry of divine life from this newborn church. And what is it? It's described in Acts, the second chapter, verse 4, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. On that particular day, and there are those that just preach this who are really don't believe that in the baptism of the Holy Spirit for us today, that it had a purpose for that time. There were many sincere and zealous Jews in Jerusalem at that time, and they heard them speaking in their own language. That was a sign and a wonder. Do you know that not that long ago, I got a letter from a dear partner that's been part of the ministry. She went with a missions group to, I think it was Uganda, in Africa, and she just began moved upon by the Holy Spirit, began speaking in tongues. I mean, she was just so anointed and empowered by God, and those that are around her were amazed. She was speaking in the native language so that they could understand her. Before that, they needed an interpreter. Beloved, God has not changed. It is possible for his purposes. Someone can speak in a literal foreign language. I've heard stories of, there was a scholar of ancient Eastern languages and religions, and he was in a meeting, and someone began to speak in tongues, but it was ancient, I don't know, Akkadian or something like that, that only he would know. God is able to do whatever he desires, but he's also given us a heavenly language. And he wants us to be filled with the Spirit just as they were. Well, I could go on for another half hour, but I must bring this broadcast to a close. I love you, and I pray you can be with me tomorrow as we continue on. And with the Lord's help, perhaps we will conclude this week. I love you, pray for you every day, and if you have prayer needs, won't you write? I love you, and I thank God for your prayers, and I do pray for you. I love you, my spiritual family, my UCM partners, my radio family. Until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless. Oh, behold.